This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've got our final guest in the studio. Please make him welcome, David O'Halloran from the Walker Street Gallery. Hi, mate.
Hi. Thank you.
So give us your story. You know, how did you get involved in the arts?
I grew up in Hobart and...
Oh, talking about it, the arts. Boy, is that a hot spot right this very moment.
Wow, I know. But, you know, when
back
I was... Back then, it was... That wasn't the feeling one had growing up.
I could imagine.
It was kind of very 1950s, even though it was the 1980s, 1970s. I was kind of one of those kids who didn't know what they wanted to do with themselves, and Hobart had a good art school, and it was kind of like if you wanted to kind of avoid the dole and avoid working because you didn't know what you wanted to do, you kind of, everyone ended up at art school.
Right.
And I kind of found my way there and loved it when I jumped in there and got involved with curating exhibitions almost as soon as from second year on. And so I just found my place. It was just as simple as that. My interview for art school was quite funny because I didn't take any drawings. I didn't take any paintings. I just took written ideas. And a lecturer on the panel said, "There's nothing wrong with your ideas, but can you do them?" And I said, "Well, that's what you're going to teach me."
Oh, good on you. Good on you. And they accepted you. So fantastic.
That's right.
So what is it about, the art of being able to put an exhibition together, drawing it all and all that? You know, what were you learning in those early days?
I think I was learning to see. You know, I think I'm not an academic-based curator. I'm sort of almost intuitive, but there's no such thing as it just doesn't arrive at you. It's about looking and thinking, and it's so I don't know what I learned. I think it was just a gradual accruing of visual information, of looking at the various ways in which art can be made. I think, you know, after art school, I kind of ended up in various contemporary arts organisations that were great fun, but it wasn't really until I got to working in local government I thought, actually, the arts are so much broader than what art school teaches and that what contemporary art spaces kind of deal with. And I remember one of my first shows working for a council was, you know, it was all tapestries and stuff made by, you know, a group of old women that I thought I wouldn't be interested in, but it was fantastic.
Yep.
And you find all these suburban treasures out there when you work at that council level.
And isn't that so true, is that we all have this opinion that art is supposed to be, you know, like what you see at the NGV, but it's not. There's so much wonderful stuff out there to discover, and obviously that's what you realised and embraced it.
That's right.
Because those little old ladies, are doing some incredible stuff, and especially considering that all the crocheting and knitting became all that gorilla graffiti.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, so, and there are so many ways of making work, and there are so many reasons for making artwork. You know, some people make artwork only once a year because they have other things in their life that kind of prevent them from doing it. But it's important that they do that once a year, and others have the luxury of being able to make it their profession. But, there are many ways of participating.
Mm. All right, so here you are. You said you were working for council before. You know, how long have you been at Dandenong?
I've been working with the City of Greater Dandenong for seven years, I think, now.
Right, okay. And what took you there?
I was working for another council before that, the City of Glen Eira. So I don't know. I think I wanted to swap Yamalkos for Burkas. I'd been at Glen Eira for 13 years and I kind of thought that was kind of enough.
Yeah.
And I'd had two roles there, and one was curator and one was the kind of the manager of that arts department. And I kind of missed working with artists. I kind of missed putting exhibitions together as the manager. You know, as the manager you kind of have to deal with people and politics and I learnt a lot, but I didn't really enjoy it.
Yep. Yeah. The interesting thing is that out where you are in Dandenong is that it's such a big arts movement, and because of the people that live out there, it's a changing world, and it's a world that's is so wide to embrace.
Absolutely, and that makes my job both interesting and difficult. Dandenong is now the most multiculturally diverse city in Australia, and there are various communities that have been there for different periods of time. They're at different stages of settlement. They're at different stages of wanting to kind of come out and be active. We have a lot of Afghani people, and the Hazara people in particular are very active in the arts because they weren't able to be in Afghanistan.
Yep.
You weren't able to sing, you weren't able to create work. So that they're really thriving in this opportunities that are in Australia.
Yeah. And what I also love is the fact that the councils now with their art programs are becoming so strong and so adventurous and really doing some great stuff, and it's making our cities even stronger within the arts.
I think that's right. You know, we've kind of had globalisation and we've also had localisation, and it's harder and harder to kind of traverse our cities, particularly Melbourne, without poor public transport. The councils are now doing very high quality exhibitions of well-known contemporary cutting-edge artists, and they're also doing the workshops for kids, the grassroots development work as well, the mentoring of artists to get them to the next level of their practice. So it's very broad ways in which councils participate.
Now, this exhibition that you're here to talk about today, you're looking for artists to submit.
Yes.
And the exhibition's called Home. What do you mean by home?
Well, it's one of those very big words, isn't it? Where is home for someone who's arrived from somewhere else? The exhibition doesn't have the theme of home per se. We just needed to give it an umbrella title to work with.
Yep.
Given that we have such a huge multicultural and diverse background in Dandenong, we wanted to do something that enabled those who'd recently arrived, perhaps already with an artistic background, to get a leg up, to kind of get a new start in a new place.
Yep.
So we're looking for artists with a refugee and an asylum seeker background, but we're trying to kind of be careful and say, well, you can tell your refugee story if you want to, but you don't have to, because I think there's a lot of kind of
stigma?
Well, there's a lot of kind of middle-class voyeurism, I think, on the refugee story.
Yeah.
Whereas, we've lived quite a comfortable life and we want to hear their story. Well, there's a whole range of reasons why some people might not want to tell their story or they're not ready to or don't wish to or don't wish to be boxed in as an asylum seeker or refugee artist. They just wish to be an artist who makes work that has a particular concern.
Or it's home could be a style. We had the NGV in earlier today talking about Japanese. So it could be home is the country you came from, and your influence is let's say Japanese there, but you're thinking more Afghanistan. So bringing the particular style of art, which that's home.
That's right.
Oh, brilliant. So in what shape or form are you asking people to submit a piece, or do you just put your hand up and say, I want to do something? And
at the City of Greater Dandenong's website, there's information up there and there's an application form. So we're asking artists with a refugee or an asylum seeker background to send us five or six images of their work. We are mainly thinking visual art kinds of practices, but, you know, certainly open to other submissions.
Yep.
My background's visual arts, but so go to the website, have a read, apply, or, you know, if you kind of have some issues with filling in the form, contact us at the Walker Street Gallery and we'll, you know, step people through it.
Yeah. How many people do you think, you know, like, what's the volume of art that you would like to see come through?
Well, in the end, I think we're looking to select about five or six artists.
That's quite small, isn't
that's
it?
That's quite small, yeah. The second time we did home, we sort of had, you know, we had 15 artists with kind of one or two works each. We kind of decided it would pay more attention to the artist as an artist.
Okay.
If we allowed them to have a more fulsome representation of their interests.
Yeah.
Plus, we also will be trying to match them up with mentors so that we can actually say, well, you know, you should go and talk to this writer or this gallerist, or this would help you if you want to kind of establish your visual art career a bit more strongly.
Right. Okay, so you're going to mentor them through their the pieces that they're then going to submit for the exhibition.
Yeah, so, I mean, they don't have to make new work for the exhibition, but we will say, okay, well, this person might do well having a chat to this person. And I've kind of, so last year an Afghani artist called Zakiria Tahiri and I matched with Dr. Damien Smith, and that they've really hit it off, becoming friends, attending exhibition openings together, and that's really given Zach a lot of confidence to keep making work.
Brilliant.
And so we want, and another instance, you know, another artist was given critical feedback by a curator, you know, this, I enjoy this aspect of your work. Have you thought about developing this aspect rather than this? And that kind of advice, which if you're working, you know, as a visual artist, you're often only working, the only people that kind of say your work's great is your family, who are loving but perhaps don't know very much. So having that kind of mentor is very good. We're also giving each of the artists $1,000 to help them get their work ready for presentation. And we've been lucky enough this year to have IKEA in Springvale kind of come and help out with that. And, of course, it's a perfect match for them with the title Home.
Yeah.
But also they've been doing a lot of work in the refugee and asylum seeker space.
Excellent. Yeah. So when do the submissions have to be in by?
The 29th of July.
Right. And then when is the exhibition?
The exhibition is in October, November this year.
Right. And what do you do to actually put your hand up and say, I want to exhibit here?
You go to a website, greaterdandenong.com, and you click on the play tab at the top, and that will take you to all our cultural facilities and cultural information. And the Walker Street Gallery in the drop-down menu there has all the information there.
Right. And say somebody doesn't want to do that, or they're not sure of doing it in that way, can they actually drop in?
Absolutely.
And to the gallery?
They can come to the Walker Street Gallery in Dandenong, where 500 metres from the railway station, so very easy to find. And, you know, we've had artists apply anonymously because their situation might be vulnerable. We've had an artist who, you know, exhibited under a pseudonym. You know, she is, you know, a gay woman, had to flee the country because of her political activism and because of her sexuality. Well, she's vulnerable, so she didn't show under her own name.
Right.
And those sorts of issues. And sometimes they're not allowed to speak about their particular situations. It's still vulnerable for their visa applications, etc. So we're flexible and understanding about those issues.
Yep. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, David, for coming in today. It's, the exhibition's called Home, and you're submitting now until the 29th of July, and you get in contact through the city of Dandenong. It's the Walker Street Gallery.
That's correct.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 on Sunday Arts Magazine.
You may have heard the term U equals U lately when it comes to HIV. It stands for undetectable equals untransmissible. Still a little confused? Undetectable refers to someone who is living with HIV and on effective treatment to control the virus. And untransmissible means HIV cannot be transmitted from the HIV positive person to the HIV negative person involved. So U equals U means that someone who is living with HIV and adhering to their treatment properly cannot pass on HIV to someone else through sexual contact. This adds an extra level of protection on top of water-based lubricant and condoms. Don't forget to tune into Well, Well, Well every Thursday night at 8 p.m. here at Joy 94.9.
Thorn Harbour Health, a proud sponsor of Joy.
You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine. We are running late, David, so we're going to
say... Well, not too late. Yeah, like, but we'll do a quick little wrap-up. But before that, yes. I just want to congratulate you, John.
Oh, thank you.
You know what? I'm saying it with so much love because I've given you so much grief over the last couple of months. But you being an actor, a musical theatre actor, life can be very tough going to auditions on a very regular basis. And you would be sitting out there before we come on the show going, oh, I went to another audition, didn't get it, or I don't know whether to give up, that whole horrible thing of being an actor or a writer, as we realised earlier today, or a visual artist in any shape or form. But you've known now for about a month and a half and you've had to sit on it, and I've kept on teasing you even though I know you've got a spot. What are you involved in?
I'm going to play Ned Schneebly in School of Rock, the musical.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's a major production. Andrew Lloyd Webber is one of the
he
big...
He hired me, apparently.
He hired you. He saw your demo tape.
He did.
How exciting to be noted by somebody like him.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you away from the show, unfortunately, but not for a few months, because it doesn't open until November.
Sure, yeah.
And then you're going interstate with it as well as time goes on. Yeah. So I'm absolutely thrilled for you. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. Now we better keep going. I will talk to you on Friday. I'm going to come and visit you.
Yes, if you want to hear me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.